And one of the movies that are coming up, it's pretty scary. It's called Meg. And also, it's not a girl, it's a shark. It's a megalodon shark. And it's like a 75-foot long shark that the mouth, a person like me, 6'1", can be standing if the mouth of that shark is open. You know, that's how big that shark is. Which that kind of creature reminds us of a biblical passage. Swallow Jonah, but the Bible tells us what was a great fish. We're going to start actually in Jonah chapter 1:17. We stopped in verse 16 last time, because curiously in the Hebrew Bible, the chapter 2 starts in our verse 1:17. Jonah chapter 1:17, and then we go read through to verse 10. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach, or in the belly, of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Let's pray once more. Father, this is your word that is open and read in front of us. Lord, just talk to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we wrestle with your word right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, of course, I'm not going to watch Meg, by the way. Yeah, I'm not. Ashley and I avoid those kind of movies. But if you remember last Sunday, so Jonah, and I asked my wife too, if she remembered the main idea of the text, of the passage, of the message last Sunday, and she was right on target. She said, the Lord sends storms in our lives because of our disobedience. Okay? So, Jonah was in disobedience with God, and he was running away from God, from the presence, from the sight of God. And because of his disobedience, God hurled a storm in his life, and he went up into the sea. In our passage today, we start with Jonah being swallowed by a great fish, a sea creature. And there, in the belly, in the stomach of the fish, Jonah prays. You know, when we're facing death, or when we are so scared of our situation, or when some dangerous thing happened in our lives and is threatening us, threatening our life, even atheists, they pray in that moment. Prayer is something that we can do anytime, but when our lives are in danger, it's something that we do no matter we believe or not in God. And Jonah probably was thinking that was the last resource. It was his last chance. He was now in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. My goodness, I cannot imagine being even 1 hour in the belly of a fish. And he started praying, and it's interesting that in verse, is this not on? He said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. And as good Hebrew poetry, he's going to send us another verse that's basically the same with different words. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. Imagine yourself in the belly of a fish. And if you are able to speak, who is going to hear you? Who is going to hear your voice if you are able to say something? It's interesting how the verse is talking about you, it's talking about Lord God, heard my voice. Because nobody else would hear Jonah. Nobody else in the world, not even the fish, was able to hear Jonah. And isn't it interesting how sometimes we feel the same? Even when we pray silently, we're not able even to speak. And just in our minds, and we have that feeling, who is going to listen to me? And the answer is nobody. Have you felt that way in your life? When the situation that you are in can be compared to the stomach of a fish, and you pray and you say things and you speak, but no one can hear your voice. Have you felt that way before? Jonah was exactly in that situation. But the certainty is that God can hear your voice. No matter where you are, God can hear your voice. Even when you don't speak out loud, God can hear your voice. If you just pray and remember God and cry out to Him and call upon Him, He can hear your voice. Even if you don't speak out loud, even if you are not able to speak, God can hear you. And then Jonah, verse 3, it seems like he start remembering what happened since he was thrown hurled. I like hurled. Yeah. So, it's interesting that he said God has or had cast him into the sea. God? I thought chapter 1 said there was the sailors. See, nothing escapes to God's government. He sent the storm. He heard the prayers of the sailors. Don't put this innocent blood upon us, Lord. They prayed. And of course, God caused them to haul or to throw Jonah into the sea. Nothing escapes God's government. So Jonah is in now in the sea. And he will picture for us what was going on. He said, I have been expelled from your sight. Well, Jonah was running from God's sight. And now he's complaining that he was cast out from God's sight. You had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. He was still in the surface, and all the breakers and the waves and everything was coming over him, was passing and probably throwing Jonah to and fro, and he was in despair already. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple, despite of the fact that you or I've been cast out from your sight. He was praying that God will have mercy on him and restore him to see God again. Water encompassed me, verse 5, to the point of death. And now we can see he starts drowning. He starts sinking. And now the waters are around him, all over, to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. In verse 6, he's sinking. I descended to the roots of the mountains. Mountains? You know how deep the seas can be. And it seems like everything in the world, in the dry land, begins right there. The root, the base. It's kind of that feeling that probably Jonah touched the bottom of the sea. Or if not, he was at least surrounded by the bottom of the sea. He was about to die. He talks about death. He talks about the deep. He talks about Sheol, which is the land of the dead. See, Jonah was about to die. Jonah was about to die. The earth with its bars was around me forever. It seems like he was being buried into the sea. Weeds wrapped up on his head, and his body could not fight and come to the surface anymore. He was sinking and drowning and going to the deep, that's a picture of death. I remember my mom, she was a nurse, and we were in a city that is on the beach, and we were driving by and seeing, you know, this little place, and everybody was, you know, having a good time on the sand and enjoying the beach. And then my mom saw, stop the car, stop the car. And she saw somebody being rescued from the sea. My dad stopped the car and we started looking at the scene. And when I turned back to see my mom again, she was gone. Like, my goodness, that was fast. She was a nurse. She was trained to rescue people. She was trained to do the resuscitation process. I cannot handle that, I guess, but she was able to, oh my goodness. My dad turned to me and said, follow her. So I had to get out of the car and start following my mom. And I used to run pretty fast, and it was hard to keep on her. She was going fast. And she was a lady like this size. She, in that moment, she was strong. She started pushing everybody, you know, open, open, open. And she started resuscitating that guy. The scene was ugly because this guy had a lot of sand and weeds, and his chest was dark black because it's full of water. And see that scene, and when I saw that man laying on the sand and my mom trying to give him back to life, I thought, my goodness, if she cannot do anything, he's going to die. That scene, when I read this passage, I remember that scene. He was descending to the root of the mountains, of the root of the earth, the bars and everything that sustained the earth is down there in the deep. And Jonah was right there. But then hope comes. But you, verse 6, second part, but you have brought me up, or you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. How God brought up his life from the pit? What happened? So that's the exact moment, if you understand. He was there at the waves and trying to fight the waves and the billows and the breakers, and he starts sinking and drowning and going down, and the waters were too strong for him to swim, and he was, you know, seaweeds were there, and he was touching the bottom of the sea, but God brought up his life. How? He didn't go up. That's the exact moment when the fish, the big fish, swallowed Jonah. And that's when we have to understand that the fish was not Jonah's despair or death. The fish represents Jonah's salvation. Is God's lifeboat, if we can say that. God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The fish is not the coffin of Jonah. The fish is the lifeboat that God has sent to save Jonah's life. The fish was God's providence. The fish was appointed by God to save Jonah's life. You know, sometimes we, in our lives, we think, I cannot be saved from this situation. I'm in the deep of the sea. I cannot fight anymore. I don't have strength to swim back to surface. Even I cannot see well because it's too dark down there and seaweeds are wrapped around my face, around my head. Have you felt that way before? There is no way. There is no salvation. There is no way. I'm about to die. That's the picture that sometimes people, sometimes we, are facing. Our situation is so bad because of our disobedience that we are about to die. And there is no way to be rescued. But God has strange ways for us to save us. And sometimes those things that seem to be something for our destruction is actually the means of our salvation. The fish is not Jonah's destruction. The fish is Jonah's salvation. The Lord can appoint anything to rescue your life from the pit. Even if you think, I have no chance to be saved, God can do miraculous things to save your life. He has done with Jonah. He has done with me. I have one more personal story. I believe so. I was coming back from Rio. Y'all heard about Rio de Janeiro, Brazil? I used to work there in the Brazilian Mission Board. I was coming back home to visit my family and to attend my brother's wedding. And my boss said, well, since you're going to go home, we need to send this car to Brasilia to help the missionary. So can you drive this car to your home so you can give the missionary who was there? I said, sure. So it's about 900 miles. So I woke up in the morning. I was by myself. It was the World Cup final. I remember that. And so I was by myself on the road because everybody else in the country was watching the World Cup, right? And I was driving all day long. And when finally I was close, about 100 miles from home, it was dark already. And I remember this big truck. I was passing the truck, and that's the last thing I remember. What I think happened was the truck just moved to the other lane and just threw me out of the road. Now, I remember, looping, spinning, and screaming. And I'm still here. That was a big accident. And I thought I would die. And when I got out of the car was destroyed. The only thing that was intact was the cockpit. You know, the where my seat was and the passenger. That part of the car was steel, you know, with all its integrity, but the rest of the car was destroyed. I think I probably turned over several times. You know, in this situation, when I got out of the car, the engine was still running. And I looked at the car, and I was fainting away. I almost passed out that moment. And I look at the car, and I look at my situation. I was far from the road. Again, the first thing that comes to your mind in a situation like that, I down on my knees and I prayed and I remember God and I said, God, thank you for sparing my life, saving my life, keeping me alive. See, those situations are death situations, life-death situations. And to think you remember God in that moment. That's why I think Jonah was right there. I was in the belly of the car. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And probably you, my brother, my sister, you have faced something similar that you had seen death in front of you. And what do you do in a situation like that? You remember God. Because God, in a situation like that, is the only one who can save you. God is the only one who can save your life from the pit. He brought a whale or a great fish or a big fish or a sea creature to rescue Jonah. And it's interesting how Jonah was kept alive in the belly of the fish. Some authors, some people, they start, you know, discussing about this. It probably was a whale because a whale breathed air like us. And he was probably there close to the, you know, the respiratory system of the whale, and that would keep him alive. And when I read those stories and those explanations, I just try to say, you know, we try to explain things, but I do believe that he was in the stomach because somehow, miraculously, he was kept alive. And that's the miracle. How I was kept alive in that car accident, I cannot explain. Everybody who saw the car, and my parents came the next day, I was in the hospital, but nothing happened to me. I didn't have one scratch. Is it not a miracle? Yes. People who saw the car say, we cannot explain how you survived such a hard or tough accident. See, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, not because he was technically in the respiratory system of a whale or anything like that. He was there, kept alive, inexplainably, because God kept him alive. That fish was Jonah's lifeboat that rescued him from death. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. That's the second time in this poem that the holy temple of the Lord is said. The holy temple. Jonah was probably from Jerusalem, and he was used to see the holy temple. And he wanted to go back to the holy temple to see God again, to see the presence of God in the holy temple. And here he's saying, my prayer reached your holy temple. He was in the belly of the fish. Nobody could hear him, only God. And his prayer went up to God's holy temple. My brother, my sister, your prayer can reach God's holy temple. If you pray, and if you remember God, and if you cry out, and if you call upon His name, He will hear you. Your prayer will reach the holy temple of God. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. What does this verse mean? Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. I truly believe that here Jonah is not talking about the Ninevites, as it seems. Because the Ninevites, they were those who regard vain idols. The Assyrians had so many idols, so many gods that they worshiped. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. Those words, vain idols, they can be translated like as vanities. And if you read like that, those who regard vanities or vain things, or things that are not important, they forsake their faithfulness. Oh, now it's getting clear. Jonah's talking about himself. Because he regards things that are not important or things that are vain. He was running away from God and he forsook his faithfulness to God. He's talking about himself and he's confessing his sin. Lord, I was unfaithful to you. How many times you confess your sins to God? How many times in a situation like that you remember God, but you also remember your sin? Why you are in that situation? Because of your disobedience, Jonah. And now you have to confess what you have done. And Jonah said, I forsake your faithfulness, Lord. I've been doing that. I was unfaithful. But now I confess to you and I repent from my sin. Lord, which I have vowed, I will pay. This is the second time in the text that vowed appears. Chapter 1, the sailors, when they sacrificed to God, they made vows. They vowed their faithfulness to God. And now Jonah is repenting from his sin, confessing his sin of unfaithfulness, of disobedience, and now he's saying, I will pay what I have vowed. My brother, my sister, what you have vowed? What is the thing that you told God and you surrender your life to God and you told God that you have been unfaithful to? Do you need to confess? Today's time to confess. And if you have never confessed anything to God, in your life, today is also time to do that. I have never confessed my sins to God. Well, you have to do that in order to be saved. Because then he will say, the end of verse 9, and this is the main idea of this passage. This is the central idea of this passage, is that phrase at the end of verse 9. Salvation is from the Lord. In the original, it can be said this way: salvation belongs to the Lord. If there is something that can save us, it belongs to God. It's from Him. It's out of Him that we are saved. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing that the doctors can do unless God appoints them to be the means of your salvation. In Jonas's case, was a big fish. Maybe in your way, in your case, was something strange. Something that was not supposed to be, but God used to save you, because salvation belongs to Him. And it's interesting how the original word for salvation is the same word for Jesus' name. The word salvation in Hebrew means, or it can be transliterated to Jesus. The root of the name Jesus means salvation. And I cannot finish this passage without talking about Jesus, because He's the means of salvation. He's the way of salvation for our lives. Jonah is very prophetic in many ways, but this is probably the most important passage in the whole book of Jonah, because he declares that salvation comes from the Lord. And we know that verse that says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever will believe in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Jonah knew this verse way before it was spoken. Years before it was written, Jonah knew by experience that salvation comes from God. God provided a way to save his life. And God provided a way to save our lives today. If you live in a situation that you think, there is no salvation for me, there's no way I can come out of this pit, there's no way that I can come back to life, remember God. Cry out to Him. Confess your sins, as Jonah did, and tell God that you will make a vow with Him, and He will rescue you. This passage starts with the big fish being the lifeboat of Jonah. And verse 10 says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. And dry land here is the place of security, in a place that you can stand up and you can know that now you have another chance, a second chance, to do right what you have done wrong. The Lord appointed the fish to save Jonah's life. But he commanded the fish to vomit Jonah up onto the dry land, because now Jonah has to obey. If you're in a situation that now you're saved, and you can say, well, I've been through that. I've been in the belly of the fish. I've been in the situation like that, and I almost died, but God saved me, my brother, my sister. Now you have a mission, because now you're in the dry land. You were rescued. God kept you saved. Now you have a mission to preach God's word to those who he told you to go and preach. But if you are not a believer, and you are spiritually in a situation that there is no rescue for you, and you think, nothing can save me, I can tell you, God can do that. Because salvation belongs to the Lord. I invite you to open your, to close your eyes. And we are going to pray. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I invite you to come and talk to me. If God is speaking to you and he's the only one who can hear your voice, that you can speak right now. Speak to God. God, we have read Jonah. And Jonah was, Lord, he was disobedient. And I may be disobedient, Lord, but I want to remember you right now. I want to cry out to you. And Lord, I have no one else who can hear me, who can save me. But I know, according to the scriptures, that you can do that for me. Because salvation belongs to you. Lord, save my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and if you want to make a decision for God's sake right now, you can come and talk to me. If you're a believer, if you understand that you now are saved and you are in dry land, you still have a mission. God saved you for a purpose, and you can come also and pray up front. Let's sing. Let's praise God's name.
Strangely dim In the light of His glory and grace, through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be there. Then go to dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonder. Wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.